Wayfair's big sale is returning. Get ready for Way Day. For 4 days only, score up to 80% off all things home with free shipping on everything. From October 26th through 29th, score Wayfair's best deals, like up to 80% off area rugs, up to 60% off mattresses, up to 60% off bedroom furniture, and more exclusive doorbuster deals. So mark your calendar and shop Way Day starting October 26th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
And I'm just rocking him and promising him the world, promising him this perfect life. And all the while, like, just kind of breaking inside, and I could feel my strength just leaving. And it was like everybody I'd reached out to, something's wrong, almost made me feel more crazy, because they're like, okay, what is it? Let's talk about it. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what it is.
Before we dive in, just a quick favor. If you're enjoying what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please take a second to rate and review the show. And if something in today's episode touches your heart, please share it with a friend. Welcome to Angels Among Us, the podcast where we share real stories of angelic encounters. Each episode, you'll hear firsthand accounts of divine protection, guidance, and miraculous interventions that remind us we're never truly alone. Whether through a whisper of comfort, an unseen hand of protection, or an unmistakable presence, angels are closer than we think. Join us as we explore these powerful experiences of angels, both seen and unseen. Hello, everybody. The story you're about to hear is one that will probably leave you speechless. It'll leave you thinking, and you're going to want to look up some information on Ashley's story. It's a very high-profile story that we didn't really know a ton about prior to. We knew very little. So if you're looking for more information after hearing Ashley's story, she has recommended the Dateline story that was covered on it. There's lots of other documentaries and stuff that are out there, but she said she hasn't watched them all, and I don't blame her, but she recommends the Dateline. She was also on the Dr. Phil show. Michaela and I watched that, and we thought that one was good, and Ashley did a really good job on that one. So those are two that I would recommend. We haven't watched any of the others.
So as you're listening to this or watching it, you're going to notice that we were a little off guard, put off guard, and a little speechless, because the way that we found Ashley, well, Brent found her through a reel that he was watching, and she had just made a comment about an angelic situation that happened to her, and it was completely different from what, well, she does explain it, but different story than what we were expecting. So we were a little speechless. We didn't really know what to say, or our thoughts were just kind of jumbled because of her story. And so that is why we were a little speechless. So
Ashley, you left us speechless.
You sure did, sister.
And I'll be back on in a separate little video. I do have some thoughts and feelings after having listened to it again and stuff, and I want to touch on a little bit of that also, and that'll be at the end of the episode.
I think the reason why we were a little speechless is because there's children involved in this story, and yeah, we just wanted to be respectful of them and the family and all that were involved. So
here you go. Buckle up.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of Angels Among Us. We're joined by Ashley Boyson. We are thrilled and excited, as we always are with our guests. Ashley has been through a lot, and we don't know a ton, right? So we're excited to hear what you have. I again came across Ashley on an Instagram and reached out, and we kind of talked back and forth a little bit, and we are honored to have her. So Ashley, go ahead and give a brief little introduction and then get going on your story.
Okay. I'm Ashley Boyson. I am the mother of 7 kids. That's the first thing I usually throw out. And people are like, that's not possible, but it is. I have twins that are 20 in college. I have a son that is 18 and he's playing basketball for a college in Oregon called Blue Mountain.
Pretty close to us, actually.
Yeah, close to you. And then I have a 16-year-old in high school, girl, and a boy that is 14. He just started high school this year in 9th grade. And then a big 8-year gap. And then I have a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old little girl, 2 little girls. So, that's me in a nutshell. That's what I do right now. I connect with all the ages and spend a lot of my time just going and traveling and seeing them and, you know, figuring out how to be the best mom for each of them in their own unique ways. And, that's my heart. I'm married to an amazing man named Scott Boyson, and he's the father of those 2 little babies. And what else? I love good food. I love me some good treats. I have an amazing extended family, and I'm just really blessed. So that's me.
Well, you look awesome, for one. That's why people are like, wait, what in the world?
Thank you.
What were you going to say? You're going to say something?
I was just going to say, I can relate a little bit to having kids of a large gap, because I am from a family of 7 kids. I'm the second oldest, but there's a 20-year gap from my oldest sister to my youngest sister. And so, yeah, I was a senior in high school when my mom had my baby sister.
Wow.
So big families are the best.
They really are. And even now, seeing my adult children come home and playing on the floor with the little girls, like, it just really, it's something I said I never wanted. I always wanted to have my kids before I turned 30, and I had a plan and all the things. And I'm so glad that there was a different plan, because it's just so beautiful to watch everybody love each other in their differences and in what they have in common, and that's being part of this family. So it's really cool.
Yep. As we all have learned time and time again, not only from our podcast, but just from life, that when we have a plan, God kind of laughs sometimes.
That's the theme, I think, of life, right?
Oh, it's, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So I would say my story started long before this day, but this is kind of the story that really gave me an opportunity to figure out how angels are part of our lives. And I was 28 years old and just had my 5th baby, the giant, who's now 14. And I walked around for weeks feeling like something wasn't right, just like this pounding in my chest. And I kept searching and searching and searching for what it could be. And it was almost like this frantic, like, time is running out kind of feeling, but I had no way of figuring out. Like, I tried so hard. I went to a church leader. I went to a marriage therapist by myself. Like, something's not right. And everybody seemed to have this desire to help me, but almost looked at me like I was a little bit crazy. Like, can you give me a little bit more? And I'm just like, I can't describe it, but I felt it a few times in my life. And if I don't listen to it, something's going to go wrong. And without any information, it was just literally going from place to place, trying to get people to believe me that something wasn't right, but starting to feel like a crazy person because there was no evidence of anything being that wrong. And I'll go quick through this so we can get to the good stuff. But there was a Friday one day, I remember waking up and I literally got on my knees and I'm like, okay, Heavenly Father, I need some answers. We women know how to fix stuff. I literally told him this. I'm like, you tell me what it is. I know I need to lose weight from this baby. I know I have all these problems in my own life, but whatever it is, I promise you I can fix it. And I just need you to tell me what it is. And today's the day. Like, I could just feel it. Today has to be the day. And with no answer, I went to Target and spent a bunch of money and tried to cope. And I just couldn't. I literally had gone on my husband's phone when he was in the shower and tried to find an answer. like gone through his car when he was in the shower asleep. Like I started to feel like I was crazy, honestly. But that day I spent my day like trying to present our family to him. I sent him pictures of the kids, and like he'd felt really distant since he had passed the bar and become an attorney and just thrown into this new life of his. Like I almost felt like he was forgetting about us. And I'm like, maybe it's just that. Maybe he needs to remember us. And that I'm not getting any answers that I've been wanting, but I'm just going to send him the reminders of who we are. Like, you have the most beautiful children, dude. Come home and spend time with them. Don't let them sit and watch another dad throw the baseball outside while they're just sitting here doing nothing, waiting for you all the time, kind of feeling. So I made him all his favorite food. Like, I just went over the top this day because I just felt this franticness. And he came home late. The food was cold. The kids were tired. It was not the moment I thought it was going to be. But I was trying to make do. And at one point, he ended up going in the back room and talking to someone on the phone. And I could overhear his conversation. And a part of me was like, maybe this is how I get my answer. Like, he says, what's wrong? And then I know what it is. And I listened for a little bit. And all he was saying, there was stuff about me that wasn't true. And I just felt like smaller and smaller and smaller the longer I listened. So I finally just turned it off and like went and put the kids to bed. And he came back out and was talking about this person who I had ironically asked to call him and check on him. And I was like, well, he's a counselor. Maybe we should talk to him together. And it was kind of like one of these, he was just like, yeah, go talk to him on your phone. I don't care what you do. So I went in the back room and I'm talking to this person and he's like, what are you doing? You're like not even taking care of your kids and saying all these things that aren't true. Like I literally was doing nothing but taking care of babies and driving them to school and trying to be the best wife that I could be. And so this guy has been talking to this attorney husband and he just like went off on me about all the things that he heard I was doing wrong. And then my husband walks up in the middle of this call and he's like, hey, I'm going to go run to Walgreens real quick. I'll be right back. And I felt it again. Like my heart just started pounding and I literally held the phone away from my ear and I felt it. I'm like, this is the moment. He has to choose our family. He has to choose us. And I begged him. I was like, just stay. We have a lot of things we need to talk about. I really need to ask you we need to dive into this today. And it was one of those, don't tell me what to do. I'm leaving, slam the door. He woke up the baby. I got off the phone. The baby starts screaming. Like this baby was perfect. Never cried. Always just, I had it on a perfect routine. It was my one gift as a mom. Like I could get babies to sleep and he would not stop crying. So he's just screaming. I'm screaming inside. Hours go by and I'm rocking this baby. And I tell you, I promise this baby things that no mom should ever promise because I didn't know that I didn't have the capacity to make sure they came true. And just the baby's almost 7 weeks old at this point, tiny little thing. And I'm just rocking him and promising him the world, promising him this perfect life. And all the while, like just kind of breaking inside and I could feel my strength just leaving. And it was like everybody I'd reached out to, something's wrong, almost made me feel more crazy because they're like, okay, what is it? Let's talk about it. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what it is. There was even a point where my son woke up a few nights before this and he was screaming out and his dad was out of town. He was like, my dad died. My dad's all these things. He's screaming. And I'm like, no, buddy, he's on his trip. He's going to come back. He loves you. You know, like just all these things kept happening that just like everybody could feel something was so off. But at this point, I'm promising the 7-week-old baby that his life's going to be amazing and I'm going to protect him and we're okay and everything's fine. And I kept going to reach to call somebody, but I was like, I can't take another person telling me I'm crazy. Like I already am aware of it. I'm literally losing my mind. So I put my phone back down. And then finally at like 10:15, I think they told me, I called my husband 3 times in a row. And I was like, he's going to answer. He's going to come home. We're going to connect. I'm going to get my one answer. We're going to fix it. And instead, I got no response. I texted him a few times, nothing. And this went on for another hour or two until the baby finally calmed down. And by this point, I'm like shaking. And honestly, for weeks, I had been shaking. I remember this was Friday. On Monday, I had gone over to a neighbor's when my husband was out of town with all my kids. And we were doing like this fun little lesson. And ironically, he was teaching, the dad was teaching about like, when you pass away, where does your body go? And like your spirit leaves your body, and just doing this whole lesson about death, really. And as I was about to leave, he was like, hey, I want to give you a blessing. And if any of you don't know what that is, in my church, it's a blessing where a priesthood holder lays their hands on your head and gives you some, basically like as a voice, so you can feel this peace. Because he's like, I can tell something's going on with you. Anyway, so I get this blessing, and he puts his hands on my head, and I just start crying and crying. And for 20 minutes, this blessing has promises about angels. And in like 40 different ways, it says, angels are going to be with you, and like promises me all this thing, these things. And I have no idea what's coming. But I'm sitting there hearing all these promises, thinking like, something bad is going to happen. Like, I'm not going crazy, but I could just feel it. Anyway, so I kept thinking of that blessing, like angels are going to be with me. Whatever's happening, something's happening right now. Like, I feel it. And there had to have been angels in that room, because I mean, this baby finally calms down, and I found enough peace, even though I was in this turmoil of something I had no idea what was going on. I finally laid down, and I'm like, I have to get sleep. I have to be a mom tomorrow. No matter what is happening outside of this home, they need me tomorrow. So I fall asleep, and all of a sudden at like 1 o'clock in the morning, I just hear like this pounding on my door. And it was one of those moments that I thought it was going to be this great blessing of what I'd been praying for. And this cop is going to be like, your husband wrecked his fancy new truck and he needs you. So come with me and I'm going to take you to him. He's in a hospital. He's okay. He just keeps asking for you. And like these hallucinations as I walk to the door of everything that's going to happen. Obviously, this is a theme in my life. I try to plan stuff and it doesn't always work out that way. But so I get to the door, and I'm staring at these three people. There's like a pregnant lady and this guy who holds up his, I don't even remember what he held up, but he's like, we need to come in and talk to you. And so they come in my house. And actually, a crazy story. Like the minute I'm telling them they can't come in my house, my little sister pulls up. She was with her boyfriend and he was like, I feel like you need to go over to Ashley's, and just happens to pull up. So I let them in my house mainly because I have someone to be there with me. And we sit on this leather couch of mine. And what I remember is I don't remember them looking in my eyes. I don't know if that's true. Like, I just remember thinking like, why won't anybody look at me? What? And I kept saying like, where is he? Just tell me where he is. And they finally just kind of laid it all out the whole night, how it went. And I said, do you know Candy Hall? I'm like, yeah, she works for us at our law office. And they said, well, your husband and her were having an affair, and her husband found them at Walgreens tonight and brought, what they didn't tell me was, his favorite gun. That was a gift from his wife, his only laser pointer gun. And your husband has been shot once in the forehead and once in the heart. And he died in her arms. It was moments that you're like, No. Like, start over. This can't be real. I just promised that baby that life's going to be amazing and I'm going to give him the best life ever. There's no way that this is real. It was one of those times where like your breath is just gone. Like, they kept saying like, you have to take a breath. I just remember like my whole chest was just so tight. And honestly, like the hardest part of that night, the story was excruciating, but knowing that that was my children's story is what could tug away my breath every second. Like, I'm like, they're going to walk down these stairs tomorrow and they're not going to be little kids anymore. That's not fair. There's no way this is real. And I mean, we had a lot to do that night. And I remember once the detectives finally left, and to be honest, this is only something I share with a few groups, but the first wave of emotions, they say the grief cycle is just psychotic, but on an acid trip that I was on with this night, he's not only not here. He died in her arms and he was cheating on you. And in my head, all of these beliefs of not being good enough, being too much, all of the things that you ever feared you were, it was like that dude in my head was just attacking me. But the first wave, and I've figured out why, when you find out your spouse is cheating on you, the first wave that you finally get in the grieving process is relief, because you're not crazy. And that's where I went for the first 5 seconds. I just kept like pounding on my couch. I'm like, I'm not crazy. Yes, I'm not crazy. Like I knew something was wrong. But then the wave of like, but he's gone. Like, yes, you weren't crazy for you. And then I felt almost guilty for this wave of relief. And it was just a bipolar dance the entire night. People were coming in and out of my house. I honestly don't remember most of it. But one thing I will never forget, I walked into my closet that night. And I got on my knees and I'm like, okay, so I said this morning, it was kind of this morning. I haven't really slept. I just need one answer. And I just got thousands of them. But I need you to do something for me, Heavenly Father. I've been trying to do everything right in my life. I have been everything that you've asked. Like, I've checked all the boxes. I need you to check one for me that I need you to just like do over this night. I know he's somewhere. Like, give him a breath. Give me a chance. Give us a chance so we can decide what we do with our marriage. That was my plea that night. I remember vividly, literally sitting on kneeling on my knees, just waiting for him to be like, you're right. Let's do it your way. And I just waited and waited and waited. And I never did get that like I had hoped. But what I did get was something so powerful. Like, I've literally felt it a few times in my life where I felt his love for me so strong. Like, my whole room, my whole closet just felt like I was in the dark, but I felt this beautiful light that I've never felt before. And he, like, during this time, which I think a lot of people feel like when you're in your darkest night, he was loud for me. Like, I could hear him and the things that he said to me that night, that he believed in me, that I was going to find my worth. I was going to be able to forgive. I was going to be able to do these amazing things. Like, I didn't really believe it, but I felt and knew that he did. Like, he was looking right at me and he knew exactly where I was. And he believed that I was going to be able to not only stand up from that closet, but go out and face the world and face the fact that everybody knew exactly what happened to me and live in a fishbowl for years and not feel like I had any work for a decade and just fight to be able to be the best version of myself through him and with the help of those angels that I was promised. And I was thinking today as I prepared to talk to you guys, I just had millions of memories. When I started my blog, it was after a murder trial didn't turn into the healing that I thought it was going to be. And I remember being in a grocery store and praying so hard before I entered the grocery store, like, I need someone to come and fix me. Like, I'm so broken and I'm trying to be a mom. I just sat through a month-long murder trial. I'm trying to pick up these pieces, but it's not working. Like, I need you to send me somebody, a good therapist. I don't care. Someone, they've been cleaning my house. They've been feeding me. They've been taking care of my kids, but somebody who knows how to fix what it is that's broken, because nobody seems to be able to help me and I don't know how to help myself. So I'm in my car having this prayer of, I need someone, you to send me somebody. And it was the opposite of what I got in my closet. There was just like silence. And it was kind of one of those, like, just go in the grocery store. It's been a long month. You got your two little kids. You're back to real life. Just go get some groceries. And I was like, fine. And I was kind of angry. It's like, I'm going to go in the grocery store. I'm just going to throw crap in my cart and I'm going to pay for it. And we're going to drop Cheetos the whole way out in case we can't find our way back, you know? And I get to the back of the store and I brush past this lady. And, you know, as a kid, I always had this gift to like feel what other people were feeling. And it was long gone. Like, during the trial, all I really thought about was myself until like the last day when the judge is announcing the verdict. And I'm in the back of the room because they told me a little late. And I walk in and there's like, all I see is all these hurting people. And it was like overwhelming. I'm like, no, I don't have time for this. I'm the one hurting here. But I see these two moms and one just lost her son to jail, and one, her son, her only child, was killed. And I just, so I'm in this grocery store, and I'd had this little glimpse in the courtroom, but I feel it again. Like, I brush past this lady and I feel her soul, like her darkest day could have been that day, because I felt everything. Then I get this feeling, you need to stop and help that lady. And I'm like, no, there's no way in the middle of a grocery store. She's not like holding a sign or anything. So I keep ignoring it and just keep getting this, you need to stop and help that lady. And I'm like, I can't. I literally just told you in my car, I have nothing to offer. Like, I am about the most worthless person there is. I don't even know how to be a mom. And I just keep feeling it's like, and this time it was like, get in your purse and give her the money. And I don't keep cash. Moms don't keep cash or it gets stolen from their kids. So I'm like, there's no money in here. And then I find this little $100 bill. And I'm like, okay, well, clearly this is not for me. And I walk over and I'm like tapping on her shoulder. And she's in the fog. You know the fog when you're just in that. Yeah, I like have to like break her out of the fog for her to even hear me. And I was like, hey, I'm so sorry if this offends you. I just felt like I'm supposed to come and give you this money. And she just stares like through me like, what? And I was like, well, so she's like, okay, so I have $13 in my bank account, but I don't understand how you would know that. Like, how did you know that? And I was like, you know, I know that you have a Heavenly Father who loves you so much. And today he wants you to know that you're not alone. And he remembered you. And I gave her the money and we gave each other a hug. I didn't even ask her name. Like, I wish I knew who this woman was, because she saved me. I had prayed so hard. Please bless someone to come and save me, please. And I thought it was going to be someone who comes and like does some therapy or some grand thing for me. But it was this lady who showed me that I wasn't alone, and also showed me that Heavenly Father knew right where she was in that moment, in her darkest time, staring at these groceries that she can't pay for. And that led me on a journey of wanting everyone in the world to know they're not alone. But that's not really where my blog started. It more started another dark day. You know, when you go through the cycles, like, you have these moments of light in your closet that you're like, you're going to be able to do this. And then you go out into the real world and you're like, I don't even know if I can do this. That was kind of the cycle I was on. So on another dark day, I kept getting different in different ways. Another blessing, some time in our temple. I was in the temple and I kept getting this, you need to be a voice for some of my children who aren't listening. And I was like, what does that even mean or look like? And then I just had it kind of all laid before me that I needed to start this blog. So this is how my blog started. I start typing. I'm like, you want me to tell this story? And it's all anger. My computer shuts down. And Heavenly Father was literally like, okay, you want to try that one more time? That's when I had the greatest gift of this whole story. As I was writing every single day, I would stay up late while my kids were in bed and I would just write, and I would turn on Paul Cardall music so it didn't have any words. So I wasn't like getting any words from anywhere, but I would just feel this, that light again, just come over me. And in the writing, like, I knew I had to write my story, but he gave me this a beautiful view. And luckily I had journals because I had written some of these miracles that had happened. But it was when I looked back, I thought looking back was going to be too painful. I was like, nope, we avoid that. We shove it under the rug. We tell the news to get our picture off. This didn't happen to us. Pretend it didn't happen. Let's just go put on my high heels so I don't look stupid in front of everybody who knows that I have this stupid life. The fakeness just faded away. And I remembered the angels, and they were there in every single day. They were there in time when I could hear my daughter crying. My 2-year-old, this woman had created like daddy blankets for all of my kids. She came and like got us shirts the next day. And in 24 hours, she brought back 6 daddy blankets, one for me and one for each of the kids. And she's like, I need you to know something. I only intended on making one blanket, had a couple scraps, and there were angels sewing with me. Like, I don't know how I got these done so fast. And she just like wrapped my kids in these blankets. They just would sleep with them every night. But my 2-year-old she went straight to the anger phase with me. And she was so mad. Anything that had to do with dad, she's like, daddy, I don't want my daddy blanket. I don't want it. I don't want it. But one night I heard her just upstairs, just crying and crying and crying. And she had rejected her daddy blanket that night. And I walked in and she was like reaching out to this picture that someone had blown up for the funeral and I'd put in her room of him and her dad. And she's just reaching out to the blanket and she's like, "Daddy, hold me." And I look over and the picture of her and her dad, which this woman who sewed the blankets didn't know this, had the same shirt that was used for her blanket. And so these angels sew this blanket. They don't, like, they know the details. We don't know when we do these things. And I wrap her in this blanket. And for the first time, she like missed him and cried and talked about her dad instead of being angry. And it was just moments like that every single day. So as I write this blog, I'm like, I thought you wanted me to be mad. Like, I'm really mad. Mad was easy for me because when you're angry, you don't miss the person that you created 5 children with or that you promised your life and forever to. And so it just gave me a chance to remember the angels in my story and the moments that I had. I thought I was so alone, but as I would write them, I'm like, oh my gosh, I was never doing this alone. There were times when detectives would call and there was like fights breaking out on his Facebook page with different people having different opinions. And they're like, "You have to shut this down. Like, someone's going to get hurt." And I had no idea what his password is. I had tried for months to get in his Facebook or find some way to find anything out about what was going on in his life. And I walk out into my kitchen and this password pops in my head. And I type it in, shut his Facebook down, fights are over. Like, it was just every single day, moments of answers to things that I shouldn't have known. And like one day my mom was helping me go through some of the finances and we both all of a sudden were like, "We have to get to the bank, like right now." And we get to the bank and the guy at the bank is like, "Dude, literally, she was just here. She was here trying to get into your accounts and clear out all your money and saying it was hers and Emmett's and in this grand story." And he's like, "I was going to call you. I cannot believe you're here." But it was moments like that that I just knew we weren't alone. And that promise in my closet was going to be fulfilled, that I was going to be guarded by angels. And they tell me that the night that it all happened, like, police cars were surrounding my house and my neighborhood because they didn't know who was involved or what was happening. So they were watching our house. We didn't hear any of it. Like, my kids didn't hear anything. We were just shielded from everything that was happening. And I've honestly had so many dreams that it happened with us there. And even just that, like, I know it's hard to find the good in our stories sometimes because they're so heavy or so dark. But those little things that happen to shield you from even more pain, those are the kind of miracles that we have to look for. And those are the things that I found as I wrote my story and I faced it, going back to it. When we feel like we're broken, the last thing we want to do is go back to those moments. But going back to those moments were the thing that helped me actually heal the pain that I was carrying from them. And sitting on that couch with the detectives and going back and remembering every detail, every little fan moving and all the things that your body wants to forget. But it mainly wants to forget the pain that you hold on to. Because when like I say, a trauma is a moment where you say, "My life is never going to be the same." That's how I define trauma. Because for some people, it's something that seems so small from the outside, but people are like, why don't you just get over it? And you're like, because in that moment, like, there's life before that moment and there's life after, but they're not joined together. That moment is defined so strongly that I knew in that moment, my life's never going to be the same. But what I've realized happens, at least from so many people I've talked to and going back to those moments for me, is it's like Satan, the darkness of the world knows that you're in this vulnerable state. And it's like, all right, we're going in. We're going to ruin this for the rest of her life. She's going to think she's worthless. She's going to think she's a crappy mom. She's going to, all those promises she made to her son, let's really like cash in on those. She's going to feel so guilty that she promised something that she can't keep. She can't keep, you know, and he just like takes that dude in our head and he gives him the strongest voice. And so it's not necessarily what happens to us, but that darkness that enters in those moments, that if we don't figure out it's there, we think it's who we are. Mm-hmm. And so healing from that, writing that story, facing it, standing on stages and speaking about it, the last thing I wanted to do ever, and sometimes still, like, it's so much easier to avoid the hard in our lives. But with the help of God, with Christ, whoever you believe in, if you believe in angels, I promise you, they will help you. You can send them on errands. You can ask them for peace. You can ask them for any kind of strength. For me, it was the weirdest stuff would be really weakened. Like, I used to be this amazing cook and I love to cook for my family. And then all of a sudden, my moment, my trauma happens, and I could not, like, every time I'd go to make our favorite meals or look at recipes that had his handwriting, like, I'd be triggered and I'd close the book and we'd go to McDonald's. But those moments when we face what actually hurts instead of just running from it forever, that's when we heal. We have to push past the comfort zone. And your comfort zone shrinks really small when you've gone through something really hard because everything feels scary. But life outside of your comfort zone is where you're going to find healing, because you're going to push yourself a little more each day. And then those promises, like the ones that I got in my closet, can come true. But if we just shield out the angels and we shield out God because we're mad at him for putting us in this moment and these situations, we're basically saying that we don't want to grow and we don't want to learn and we don't want to live past this moment. And I promise I understand, because I was there so many times. Like, I'd rather just go back to that moment and die too. It'd be easier. It really would. But I had this beautiful family, and it didn't, like, I was so mad we never got a family picture, because I got really hooked up on, like, if we had this beautiful family picture, at least I could put it on the wall. And all we have is a picture where the twins are pissed because they're not holding the new baby and they're in the hospital. And, like, you have all these regrets because you think that that is how your family is going to be whole. But my family learned to be whole in the way that we were. And just, you know, like, you just find healing by accepting God had a plan for you. And through those hard things, he had angels that were with you and carried you. And that light in that closet, even though I only felt a glimpse of it most of the time, I knew how powerful it could be. And I wasn't going to stop fighting for it and looking for it. And those little glimmers of light each day, I've learned, are that grace that he's like, hey, remember, I love you. I know I can't take this away from you. I wish I could. I know he's felt that, because I've literally felt him, like, I wish I could. And in a way he does, like, he carries it. But when we think we're alone, it feels like he's not. But that's what looking back did for me. It helped me go, oh my gosh, there was light in every day. Sometimes it was way brighter than it felt. And now looking back, like, I see a different view. And I'm just so grateful that not only do we have a Heavenly Father who loves us, but our angels, some of our angels are our ancestors. Some of them are, you know, like, people who are invested in our winning. And they are assigned to help us get out of the dark, because it is their light that sometimes is the one thing we hold on to as we get through each moment, each day.
Well, I'm kind of speechless. Usually I have a lot to say after someone's story and stuff. I mean, there's so many thoughts, and I think when we listen to other people talk and tell their story, we try to put ourselves, I guess I can only speak for myself, but I try to put myself in their shoes, or try to empathize, or just try to understand as best as I can. And with you, I really can't. I can only understand the pain, as in some of the pain that I've gone through, right? But
I think that as a, like, being a human being, like, we have these questions, but we don't know if it's going to trigger, you know, anything. And, you know, listening to this, I can only imagine, like, the feelings that you've had. I mean, now you're remarried, and I'm sure, like, such a great, it sounds like a great marriage. And, but, like, going back to your first marriage and having that happen, like, my thoughts are like, how in the world would I get through something like that? People say that all the time to us, like, oh my gosh, I couldn't deal with that. But in your situation, it's like, well, but you still have feelings. You still, I don't know, like, I would assume that you still loved him, you know? I mean, and you just wanted to be able to figure something out. Like, I mean, how did you deal with that? Like, I don't know if you're comfortable talking about this or, you know, you're willing to share, but I know that our audience is going to be like, wait. Like, I need more information on what happened. And can you, do you feel comfortable sharing any of that kind of?
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. Give me like one thing you want me to focus on first.
Oh, geez. I don't know. Do you?
Well, I would actually like, because your kids were obviously involved in this. Yeah. Like, yeah. And you had some older kids that remember going through it with you. And so how are they? Like, how did they cope with everything? How did they heal?
Yeah. I would say my kids for the first like probably 9 months, my 4-year-old was the one that had the hardest time. And I'll tell you, this isn't a story I say very often either. So my 4-year-old, a few weeks before his dad died, came to me and was like, "Hey, do you know when dad and I went to the movie the other day? That lady Candy from his work, she was there." And I was like, "Oh, wait, what?" And I just call him. I'm like, "Hey, did you guys see Candy at the movie the other day?" And he was like, "Oh no, there was this lady who kept giving him candy." And he let me talk to him. And he's like, okay. And then he got off the phone. He's like, "Oh, just kidding, Mom. There was just a lady that had candy." And so like your radar's going off. And so I tried to talk to him about it, and it wasn't something he really like. It was like, "No, you're crazy. No, she wasn't there," you know, kind of thing. So they had gone to Megamind, and fast forward to the funeral, my brother brings over Megamind to watch with the kids. So they're watching Megamind, and my 4-year-old walks in the room, and he has no idea what's actually happened besides his dad was shot. Because that was the only truth I felt they were ready to receive. And he walks in, and he's just got like these big alligator tears. And he's like, "Mom, I have to tell you something." And I was like, what's up, buddy?" And he's like, "Do you know when we went to Megamind?" And I was like, "Yeah." And I knew what he was going to say at this time. He's like, "Mom, she was really there. Candy was really there. They told me not to tell you, but she was really there." And he's just sobbing and sobbing and sobbing and like taking this on like an adult who had had to keep a secret from his mom. And I just like scooped him up. I'm like, "Dude, I know. And it's okay. It's okay. It wasn't your fault. It was not your fault. You didn't choose this choice." And so he literally was my child for 9 months. That was almost like a zombie, like that fog that I was talking about. Him and I just kind of went back and forth with our fog. But a lot of his was guilt for something he didn't even do. 4 years old. And my twins kind of went into just marching mode. Like their whole thing was like, "We have to help Mom because Mom's got to get her crap together." And they,
how old were they at that time? Sorry.
They turned 6 a month later. So they were in kindergarten.
Okay.
So they kind of turned into like little moms, which at the time I probably wish I could go back and not have them be little moms and just be kids. But little things like one of them would lose a tooth, and in the morning I'd hear like, "The tooth fairy came," and I'm like, "Oh crap." And the other one would be like, "I got you, Mom. I put a dollar under her pillow." Like, I was gonna fail. So they just kind of took over. But I would say my 2-year-old was angry for a long time, like biting holes in Binkies. I'd have to go buy Binkies all the time, just angry. And the baby we thought was the lucky one. As he got older, like about 8 years old, all of a sudden it was like, well, it's not fair that everybody knew him. And his stuff came up then. But as far as like healing goes, I think the best thing, I could tell you a million things I did wrong, like the tooth fairy and letting my kids become moms and doing dishes for me and holding stuff together. But something that I did right that I think would be really helpful for anybody in a situation like this is giving them those little doses of truth instead of like, I literally sat on my couch that night. I'm like, "I'm just going to say he got in a wreck and he died and he loves them," and like make it easy for me in that moment. But luckily I listened to that prompting, like No, lies are what got you here. If you want them to trust you, you have to be truthful, even when it's hard, even when it'd be so much easier to just shove it under the rug. So that's something I did right that they've thanked me for now and actually come to me and said, I need more information. I am struggling. I need to know more. And so as I've been able to give them more information and say, okay, well, this is what detectives found and here's the time frame, and they've been able to piece together the things that they wouldn't be able to piece together had I said he got in a wreck and then his truck shows up after it comes out of evidence and they're like, wait, why is this truck here? It looks fine. So just like truth has been healing for us. And it's given us a place where they know they can trust me. Like, if you can go through the hard stuff and tell the truth, I literally will never lie to my kids. If they ask if their breast stinks and it stinks, I'm going to tell them this. I love you enough to tell you the truth in all forms and save you for yourself sometimes, you know? So, yeah, I mean, we've had eating disorders. We've had kids that got into cutting as coping. And most of that happened after I actually married a second time. That was the do-over that I prayed for that I ended up divorcing years later. But when I married my husband, who I'm married to now, and he brought so much peace and calm, that's when the mess started, because you don't really start healing until you feel safe. Like, you just live in chaos and cope and avoid things. And then we get into this place. We move to Utah, where he lived when we got married. I'm like, I need to get out of this town. Let's take a break. And we moved to Utah, and it was like this calm, you know, like he brought this loving, tender spirit. And it was like everybody fell apart. My daughter was in an eating disorder facility. But to heal, you have to go back to the pain, right? And that's what they finally did. And so, but honestly, right now, I can honestly say everybody's doing amazing. I know it's because I am too bullheaded to give up. And I was like, we are going to have the best life. And I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to figure out how to be happy so you can know that you're safe. And we kept fighting as a team, and it's paid off. And I see them thriving and going through other hard things and knowing that they will get through it because they have a testimony of getting through stuff, because that's just what we do.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
You only have two choices when you have a hard time, right? You either like give up, think that angels and Heavenly Father have abandoned you and be angry, or you just keep fighting and saying, I know I have worth and I'm going to keep finding it. Even if there's evidence that I'm not worthy of love from somebody, I know that I'm worthy of love from God. I know that I'm worthy of the angels to come and walk with me. And I hope that they continue to believe that as you know, life throws them new curveballs. That's
for sure. Brent was saying, and maybe I misunderstood this, but Brent was saying something about that you had said about is it your last child or like a dream or something?
Yes. So when Titus, the baby at the time when Emmett died, when he was born, it was 7 weeks before everything happened. Right after his birth, I was just like holding the baby everyone was out of the room and I just felt this little presence next to me. And I've felt those things before, but this one was like so strong. Like I could feel her personality. I couldn't see her, but I just heard her say, "Mom, don't forget about me." And I was like, "Don't forget about you." Okay. And I have chills even now, just feeling presence. And then, I mean, 7 weeks later, my husband dies. I'm like, I know there was a little girl. I'm so confused. Like, it doesn't make sense. I felt her. I could like feel her little sassiness. It was adorable. And then when Scott and I got married, the day we got married, we're in the temple and we're about to go in and get married. And like, I could feel her again. And she was like, "My name is Kennedy Isla." And Scott's grandma's name was Isla. "My name's Kennedy Isla, and I'm ready to come to your house." And I'm like, "I'm to get married today." And like a month later, I was like, well, I told Scott that night, I'm like, "We have a little girl. I know we already have 5 kids. And you're going," he was going from no kids to 5 kids today. He'd never been had children. And his grandma, Isla, actually had told him on her deathbed, "I need you to know your wife needs you to be patient. Like, don't jump into anything. She needs you to be patient." So this grandma must have been up in heaven, like collaborating with Kennedy. And so anyways, so Scott and I get married and what was it? 11 months later, Kennedy Isla's born. And exactly that little spitfire who was just determined and so happy. And yeah, it was so cool.
Oh my gosh. What a just beautiful, crazy story. Like I'm speechless. Like usually we have things that we want to say, but I don't even know. I can't even put my thoughts. Like I cannot imagine what you have gone through, and it takes a really strong person to go through the things that you have gone through. And I think that, like, obviously any of us that have been, would be put in that position, you just have to do it. You have to get through it. But I'm so glad that you have been able to find these like angels in your life. And obviously you've helped so many people through your story, whether you want to believe it or not. You've definitely strengthened my testimony. And I don't know. I'm so speechless. I don't even know. Like,
you're so cute.
I really love the way that you talk about angels and mm-hmm. and your angels. And like that is something that I want everybody to know, is that we are surrounded constantly by people on the other side of the veil who love us dearly and who struggle when we struggle, right? They don't want to see us struggle, and they're there to help us. And that is something that I've always known, but also something that I've taken for granted. You know, going through some of our struggles and stuff. And like you said, being on the other side of things now and being able to look back and seeing and recognizing that they were always there and that our Savior was always there. And it's just so empowering to be able to hear what you've been through and just to know that I can do anything. I can do anything that my Father in heaven needs me to do. I can go through the things that he needs me to go through to become who he needs me to become. And that's a really hard thing to kind of understand sometimes, is that he loves me so much, but he also needs me to go through some things that are really hard. And he knows that we can't do it alone. And that's why he never leaves us alone. And I just loved being able to hear your testimony in talking about your angels.
Well, and I think it's incredible that you were willing to like still listen, you know, for those promptings and talk to him even when you were angry and mad. And I think that sometimes is, you know, human beings, we think that like we have to have this perfect relationship with Heavenly Father, and like we can't yell and we can't scream and we can't be mad. Like we have to like say our prayers like so strictly, but like that's not what he wants. He wants us to find him where we're at, and he's there and he's willing to help. And I think that it's awesome that you still were able to like find him and talk to him through all of that and willing.
He's enough for all of it, you know, like he wants us to be raw and real and be where we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty
awesome. Yeah, for sure.
Well, on that note, we usually ask for advice, but you've given lots of advice and it's all been so awesome. If there's any other advice that you have that you want to share, go ahead. But if not, the last thing we ask is for our guests to share a truth, something that you know to be true.
One truth that always carries me is that we're always enough for our Heavenly Father. And there will be people in our lives who don't see our value or don't appreciate or don't protect or don't, I guess, see us, but God always does. Like he loves us enough to be like, this world needs one more person, and he created you to fulfill a mission and a purpose and all these things that he sent you here. And part of that is to go through the hard stuff and to keep remembering him just like he remembered you.
Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Great ending.
Well, Ashley, thank you so much for sitting down with us and for telling us a story that left us speechless.
Truly.
Yeah,
of course. Well, we will definitely be sharing this story and making sure that people, you know, listen, because it was awesome. We can't wait to get it out.
And before we let you go, can you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. The Moments We Stand is my handle on Facebook and Instagram, YouTube. My website is themomentswestand.com. And then on Amazon, I have books. Like these are.
Oh, awesome.
Of, I guess it'll be backwards, but Silence Breaks. And then there's a second book that sold out at an event I was at the other day. And then In Chains is the last book. This one's like sitting on the couch of the detectives, and it's the journal version, not the Dateline version, of like the emotions and all the things I was going through. And then this is like through the trial. So that's that series. And then this book is my children's grief book that I made with one of my daughters, one of the twins. And there's actually an angel picture in here I have to show you. So my daughter, we did them all like faceless and color, so kids can like feel the emotions that they feel instead of being told by a color or a face on how they're supposed to be feeling. But there's a little picture of an angel of being with the baby. Anyway.
Oh my gosh.
It's all about like the stages of grief for kids and what it feels like to lose somebody and like feeling them with you and knowing that you were sent here for a reason and all the things. So anyway, it's fine.
Well, we will definitely be putting all of these into our show notes so that people can go and purchase, because I can't wait to purchase it and read it. It's awesome. It's amazing. Yes. So thanks for being on, and
you're welcome.
Sam.
Wow, what a story. I am recording this portion after having already recorded and re-listened to Ashley's story. I told Ashley afterwards that I wasn't super happy with how Michaela and I reacted and our engagement or lack of engagement with her story. So I just wanted to come on after having had time to process everything and think about things and stuff, and really just kind of commend Ashley for the strength that she has not only sharing her story again, but over the last however many years it's been, if you really think about it, she didn't have a single day to not be a mom, to not be the person that those kids deserved to have and that they needed. And so her grieving process was, I'm sure, very different than when we normally lose somebody. I'm still kind of at a loss for words, and I'm just in awe with her strength and her ability to keep moving forward and exercising her faith. It's inspiring. And so, Ashley, thank you again for coming on with us. I did want to share a couple quick thoughts that I had. First of all, just the fact that leading up to that night, Ashley had known that there was something wrong, right? As human beings, we kind of have kind of a sense of awareness when things aren't exactly as they should be or as they once were, especially in relationships and stuff. We kind of know when something's off a little bit. And she said that constantly she was feeling like she was crazy and different things. So usually when we get those feelings or that intuition, a lot of times it's right. And a lot of times that doesn't come from just us. That, and I'm pretty sure I can say for Ashley, in those moments, it was our Father in Heaven preparing her, the Holy Ghost preparing her for what she was about to experience and go through, and Him being able to show her that He was there for her and that He would be there for her. And for her to be able to recognize that even almost immediately after, I think that's the type of faith that we are all looking for and hoping to have. I can say for us, Michaela and I, in our darkest days, we didn't always exercise the faith that we should have had. So Ashley, I'm grateful for that. And I'm so grateful for you being the person that your kids needed and continue to need, to show your strength and to be an example for them and for anybody listening, to be honest. It's pretty incredible. So thank you again for having the strength to come on and talk about your story, your difficult story. Your story is a little different because there's lots of other avenues that tell your story, right? So it's great to hear your side of the story and for you to have the courage and the strength to come on and to be able to tell your story instead of everybody else telling it for you. So thank you for coming on, for talking about your angels, for sharing your testimony, and for strengthening mine and Michaela's testimony. I know she's not here right now, but we've had time to talk about it, and you're an inspiration to both of us. So thank you again. And for you listeners, if you have any questions or comments, I'm sure you can reach out to Ashley. You can also go through us, and we can reach out to her and ask her anything that you want covered. Thank you all. Please, please, if you enjoy what we're doing at Angels Among Us, please like, comment, share, follow us on all of our different social medias and YouTube, and share it with somebody. We have been deeply touched, and this has changed our lives, Michaela and I, and we are humbled and honored to be doing something that we feel that Heavenly Father has asked us to do, and we hope that you all are getting as much out of it as we are. It's, like I said, it's been life-changing for us, so we're not going anywhere. So share it with somebody, and let's lift as many people up as we can. Help everybody to see and to know that they're not alone. All right. Love y'all.
Thanks for joining us on Angels Among Us. You can find us on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow along for more stories of everyday miracles and reminders that angels are among us. If you have a story to share, please email or DM us with a brief summary. We'd love to hear from you. And remember, when we are waiting, God is working.